Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Stephen. Great. Great to be with you again here on Sunday night. And we've got, I think we had kind of a hard-hitting, interesting show last week.
Yes.
And that's going to continue, at least this week, maybe next week too. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we're talking about the covenant people disobeying God's law and doing what they want to do and not taking into account what his law is and then not wanting to hear the rebuke that comes through a prophet, not wanting to hear that they were doing wrong, and telling the prophet to get out. We don't want to hear this anymore. And then God himself saying this is going to bring desolation, destruction, exile, and even the churches are going to be involved in this.
Yeah.
Although the prophet Amos that we were talking about, you know, he doesn't talk about the churches because there weren't any churches yet. But basically God says to him, you know what? There's going to be a famine of the word.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a pastor and you're not teaching the scripture to my people, and if you're my, you know, if you're supposed to be representing me, if you're the pastor of this congregation, this church, and you're not doing what I want you to do, guess what? There's going to be famine and destruction there.
Yeah.
And he showed this through Amos, and the northern kingdom of Israel, as we talked about last week, was destroyed by the Assyrians,
mm-hmm.
and the place was trashed, and the people were moved out, and the Assyrians moved in, and then they interbred with some of the people that were left, and then some of the people came back, and the land was never the same.
Right.
In fact, that became the land of the Samaritans. That became Samaria, and it was the people who lived in the southern kingdom saw that as a defiled land.
Exactly.
They didn't even want to, like, walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus met the woman at the well there, and even told his disciples, don't even go to Samaria.
Yeah.
For now. You know, later they're going to go, and Philip's going to go, and not me, different Philip. He's going to go. And
you weren't there?
No. Well, actually, I drove through there when I was in Israel, yeah, but I'm not the... Yeah, they don't usually generally call it Samaria anymore. But anyway. So now, you know... If you were listening last week, I said we were going to use three examples because three times in the history of the people, this has happened. Desolation, destruction, exile.
Right.
And the ultimate aim of these shows is we're tying that into how we're living now.
Right.
How people and nations have turned away from God, turned away from his word, turned away from his law, and generally said, we want to do what we want to do and have remade God in their own image.
Right. We want to do things our way.
Yes. And we're experiencing this now in our country in a very real and very powerful way, to the point now where there's an aggressive move to silence the people of God.
Right.
And as Christians, you know, we have to stop bickering among the denominations, and we have to stop saying, well, you know, we're right, you're not right, yeah, you're wrong, you guys are all messed up, we're the only ones that are right, don't worry about it. And we have to stand together on the rock, which is Christ and the Word, because the darkness is overcoming everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the only ones that are going to be around that have some light.
Right, as we're standing around saying, you know, this is... You know, we have this, we have that. You don't have this, we have that, and you have to talk bad about some other people in other denominations, mm-hmm. to make yourself look good.
That's right.
That's not proclaiming the gospel.
That's right.
And it's not going to go anywhere.
That's right. And there's nothing Satan likes more than having the body of Christ divided
and bickering amongst themselves.
And he's just laughing about it,
mm-hmm.
as he's, you know, at apparently taking over the world, which of course we know he's not going to take over the world. And we know that it's, you know, when it comes to conclusion, if you read the end of the book, we win. But but it's our job to do the ministry of this.
Right. We have to remember the end of the book is prophecy, and it hasn't all been fulfilled yet.
That's right. And we have to remember
or happened
that,
yet.
We have to remember that, as we said last week, whoever you are out there, you're not going to write a book that's going to be included in the Bible, but you are in the same position as the prophet Amos, and we're going to talk in a minute about Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the one who stands up and says, the word of the Lord says what you're doing is wrong. The word of the Lord says what this group of people is doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they may berate you, and they may make fun of you. They may even attack you.
Yeah.
Physically, hopefully not. Financially, personally, whatever it is, they may try to ruin your reputation. This mm-hmm. happened to all the prophets.
All the prophets, yeah.
And then eventually they killed them.
And it happens to a lot of believers today in other yep. parts of the world.
Yes, exactly. But if we don't speak up, if we don't become that faithful remnant that we talked about a few weeks ago, who's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that are here. You know, sometimes I sit in my house and think, oh, man, this is bad. You know, I believe this, and there's so few people that I know that really believe this, and nobody's... And you can get discouraged.
And then God says, wait a minute, Bill, there's 7,000 I've killed myself. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, that was
Elijah.
That's Elijah. I'm sorry.
Elijah, get a grip, dude. But, you know, and he says the same. We can't be discouraged because, you know, St. Paul always says we have to encourage each other.
Yeah. We have to give an account
right.
for our belief in
right.
Christ. And we
right.
have to show hope.
Yes. And if you are attending Church A and Church B is two doors away, and Church B is proclaiming the truth and proclaiming the Judeo-Christian morality and proclaiming the Bible, and your church is doing that too, then you go down to Church B and say, hey, we have to work together on this. We have
right.
to. We don't have to agree on everything,
right.
but we have to stand
right.
against this.
Right.
Because, as we mentioned last week, God's patience runs out.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran out with his covenant people, and it's going to run out with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you bring up a good point, because what has been established by God and what's been established by man?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's rules and regulations that have been
sure.
established by man.
Sure.
But if we go back to last week when we said that, when God gave them the law, you're not to add or subtract mm-hmm. anything from this.
Yes.
And you're to be a light to the nations that they would see that this is an intelligent people and how close their God walks with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no matter what denomination you're in, no matter what religion you ascribe to, people always add stuff. We love to add tradition and all these other things into the mix.
Sure. Yeah.
No matter what denomination, or
yep.
everyone's guilty
yep.
of doing it.
Yep.
And you get into disagreements.
Yes.
About no, I don't believe that. I don't think this or that. But what's important is what has God established?
Mm-hmm.
And who has known the mind of God or the mind
mm-hmm.
of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of good intentioned people that think they're correct and that they have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And how do I want to say this? But if we study Scripture and the history of Scripture, we see that people do get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We
oh, yes.
do misinterpret things.
Yes.
You know, but the constant is what has God established?
Mm-hmm.
And what is his plan? What's his design?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to get back to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's very well put. Our traditions can get us carried away. A misinterpretation can get us carried
mm-hmm.
away. And remember last week we talked about God has a plumb line.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes with a plumb line.
Right.
It says, oh, yeah. This isn't plumb.
Right.
Therefore, it's going to fall down.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't fall down on its own, I'm going to knock it down.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't match up with the plumb line.
Because I didn't make it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you have some very, if you have a teacher, a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, whatever it is, that goes off on a tangent teaching his own stuff,
mm-hmm.
you got to also hold up a plumb line and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got my plumb line here, and what you're saying isn't plumb. It's just not right.
Right. My teaching is not my own, but that of the one who sent me.
That's right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's the basis of catechesis, of teaching the
yes.
word of God, is that our message is not our own, but the word that we are proclaiming that has been given to us through the prophets, through the apostles, and through Christ himself, who is the word.
Amen. Well put. And, you know, Amos is, you know, we talked last week about Amos. Amos wasn't somebody who, when he was a little kid, said, I want to be a prophet when I grow up. And I want God to just really, you know, use me to be a prophet. And I want to go over there and tell those people that they're, he was a shepherd, and he says it was a dresser of sycamore trees.
Yeah.
And he was just earning a living doing, you know, sheep and trimming sycamore trees, whatever that means. And God came to him and said, you're going to be a prophet to my people, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably said, no, I got the sheep to take care of. I got to trim the sycamore trees. And listen, I'm getting paid 4 shekels an hour to do this. And
I heard about those other prophets, how they treated them. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a great job.
Yeah. And everybody thinks, like, oh, well, you got a word from the Lord. You know, you're going to proclaim that word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prophets have a tough, tough position.
In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, you guys killed every prophet that came.
Yes.
You guys are real good. You killed every prophet that came. And then what makes it worse is you guys that are here now say, oh, had we been there, we wouldn't have killed those guys.
Exactly.
And he said, yeah, you would have.
And we do the same thing today.
Exactly.
We do the same thing today.
Exactly right. And 150 or so years later, we just use some rough numbers, the Southern Kingdom was still in operation. The temple was in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The priests were there. The sacrifices were going on. And people again started to drift away from the law, started to drift away from the covenant. There was some idolatry creeping in. The Sabbaths weren't being kept. Other things that, you know, if you read through the first half or so of the book of Jeremiah, he kind of chronicles all these things that were going on in the Southern Kingdom. And these were the good guys.
Yeah.
The Northern Kingdom was already gone.
Yeah.
These were the good guys. And these were the people of Judah and Benjamin. And they were also introducing some of their own morality, some of their own way of doing things, some of their own ways of worship, which were in contradiction of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah, who's, you know, known as the wailing prophet, he was always wailing and whining. He was like, he wasn't like a lot of fun to hang out with.
No,
because he had, and the reason he was wailing, and if you read, Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations, which by its name shows you it's not like a happy, fun book. It's not like light and airy.
So if Jeremiah came to the water cooler at the office, it was just clear though.
Yeah, everybody's bummed out. Let's get away from this depressing guy.
Jeremiah, let's scatter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, we don't want to hear what he has to say anyway, but he's a bummer. But, you know, he wrote Jeremiah and he wrote Lamentation because he saw the judgment that was coming first by revelation and then Lamentation actually, you know, he's walking around a ruined Jerusalem saying, look at this place.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be a beautiful city and there used to be prayers here and there used to be people here. And now look at it. It's a desolation. There's dead people. There's dead animals. The temple's gone. The city's destroyed. It's a horrible.
He saw it.
Yeah. And then he saw it physically after his prophecies.
Right.
And, you know, it was, I mean, if we lived through that, even in whatever city you live in, if you said, wow, you know, we better be careful because things are going bad. And then you showed up again and everything was destroyed and you walked around your city and everything you knew was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be in a great mood either.
No.
People would call you a whiner, too, if you said, oh, my beautiful city, it's all gone, everything's destroyed. But the question is, why was it destroyed?
Mm.
Why don't you open up to this whiny guy, chapter 22. This is Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 22.
He likes me. Don't worry.
Okay.
Why don't you read Peter, right? He's getting in line. Why don't you read verses, I don't know, let's do 6 to 10.
You're going to have quite the greeting gallery when you get to the pearly gates. Thus says the Lord, go down to the palace of the king of Judah, and there deliver this word. You shall say, listen to the word of the Lord, king of Judah, who sit on the throne of David. You, your ministers, and your people who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, do what is right and just. Rescue the victims from the land or from the hand of their oppressors. Do not wrong or oppose the resident alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. If you carry out these commands, kings who succeed to the throne of David will continue to enter the gates of this house, riding in chariots or mounted on horses, with their ministers and their people. But if you do not obey these commands, I swear by myself, Oracle of the Lord, this house shall become rubble. For thus says the Lord concerning the house of the king of Judah. Though you be to me like Gilead, like the peak of Lebanon, I swear I shall turn you into a waste, with cities uninhabited. Against you I will send destroyers, each with their tools. They shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them into the fire. Many nations will pass by this city and ask one another, Why has the Lord done this to so great a city? And they will be told, Because they have deserted their covenant with the Lord, their God, by worshiping and serving other gods.
Mm. That's so awesome. So the first part of that.
Certainly that can't happen today, though.
Yeah.
That's what we say. But certainly that can't happen today.
That's history stuff.
Yeah, that's the old God.
Yes. And we're going to see that they
God's
said.
God's not mean anymore.
Yeah. And we're going to see that they said the same thing to Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. He says to the king, now that the king of Judah is living in his big palace right next to the temple. Everything's going on. He says, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't follow these rules, if you don't do this stuff, it's going to be rubble here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the temple. This is the place. The Temple Mount, it says, is where God says, I have put my name.
Yeah.
His holy temple was there. But he says, you know what? This is all going to be rubble if mm-hmm. you don't do what I say.
Yeah.
I'll even destroy my place here if you don't do what I say.
Yeah.
If you do what I say, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be good. The next king's going to come and everything's going to be good for him.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, there's going to be rubble here. So it's a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, you know, you go and tell the king of Judah, you know, you're like Gilead to me. Gilead was this beautiful place in this little section between Israel and Lebanon. It was beautiful. The cedar trees, the mountains. I mean, it's where Pastor Otto lives, basically.
Ah.
It's like a beautiful area of greenery.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know what? I'll make it a wilderness. I can make it desolate. The cities aren't going to be inhabited.
Yeah.
You know, I'll send destroyers against you. You know, as you know, he's going to say destruction comes from the north.
Paul's back.
Paul Wilbur's back. He was on vacation last week.
Yeah.
Woof. Anyway, this is Gift of Grace on the Word 1220, member of giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Now You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're talking about the wailing prophet Jeremiah and the warning that he gave to the king of Judah. And interestingly, we're talking about how even the temple would be destroyed.
Right.
And during the break, we were talking, and, you know, Stephen pointed out that the temple was destroyed not once, but twice.
Yeah. Now, this was the first time it was
destroyed. Yeah, this was the first time. This is Solomon's original temple.
And they're thinking, you're going to, nah, this can't happen.
Right. In fact, they're going to say to Jeremiah, listen, dude, you got to relax. We're the chosen people. We got the temple here.
We got all this stuff.
We got the stuff. We got the priests. We're doing the thing. And yeah, you know, we're doing some of this other stuff on the side. And yeah, you know, we're not doing all that stuff exactly like before. But hey, you think God's going to destroy his own temple? Well, he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does that say?
And he did it twice.
And he did it twice. So what does that say?
Yeah. What does it say to the church today?
Exactly. What does it say about judgment? What does it say about last week we were talking about at some point his patience runs out?
Yeah. And I'm not, and when I say church, I don't just mean one particular
church. Right.
However many different denominations there are.
Sure.
That's the body.
Sure. And it says, I'm going to prepare destroyers against you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come with their own weapons, with their own tools.
Yeah.
Destroyers are going to come. So, you know, God used foreign powers to punish his people.
Yeah.
The Assyrians came into the north. The Babylonians came into the south. The Romans came in the time of Jesus to destroy the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And these are foreign powers.
Yeah.
Gentile powers, pagan people that he uses to punish his people.
Yeah.
You know, he prophesies in Isaiah about the king of Babylon, which is going to be, you know, 150 years in the future.
Right.
That's going to come. He says, I've called you, Cyrus. You don't know me. You don't know who I am, but I'm calling you and I'm making you an army because you're going to punish my people.
Yeah.
This is sobering stuff.
Yeah.
And the people there, while the Babylonians were getting ready to come in, the people there were saying, Jeremiah, will you just loosen up?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to come here. Nobody's going to destroy anything. We got this nice place here, and you're just a party pooper.
Yeah.
And there were false prophets coming up that were saying, hey, don't worry. Everything's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had, you know, big congregations. Everybody said, hey, this Jeremiah guy's depressing. Let's go listen to this other guy.
Yeah, Jeremiah didn't get too many speaking engagements in the temple, did he?
Oh, man. He was.
Let's have Jeremiah come in and talk to the people.
Yeah, I mean, he's writing stuff on his website. Nobody's even reading it. Yeah, I mean, they're going to come in. They're going to burn down your cedars. They're going to destroy the city. And then it says, and the nations are going to come by and say, why did the Lord do this to this city? And the answer is going to be because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they've worshipped other gods, and they've served them.
Yeah.
Now, in our country, we don't worship other gods for the most part. It's not that many people that leave the, you know, ABC Christian church and say, well, all right, we worship God over there, now let's go do the wind god thing down the street.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
Yeah, we don't have the
the
Greek mythology gods and stuff like that going
on. No, but we
have
other idols.
Mm-hmm.
We have idols of possessions and convenience.
Fame,
fortune.
All this other stuff, yeah.
And, you know, that reminds me of when Mother Teresa talked with Bill Clinton and Al Gore, who, of course, were very strongly pro-choice, and they were meeting with Mother Teresa, and it was, you know, kind of an awkward meeting,
yeah,
because they wanted to talk about how nice she was doing with the poor. And she wanted to talk about how they were condoning abortion, and she said to them, it's a horrible poverty when a child must die for the convenience of someone else.
Yeah.
And I don't know what impact that had on them. I guess not really that much.
Yeah.
But boy, it's a sobering comment.
Yeah.
Because we've made a god of our convenience, of our comfort.
But see, when we walk down a certain path and we walk in the air of our own way, and we convince ourselves that we are right, and it's what you talked about last week, that Paul says, you know, your mind will become darkened.
Yeah.
Not even the truth will reach you.
Right. Exactly.
And that's, and you know, that's where each one of us has to take an account of ourselves every day before the Lord and say, Lord, am I walking in your truth? Am I walking in the light of your word? Am I walking on the path that you've made for me? Am I doing what you want me to do? Because if I'm not, place me there.
Yeah.
Put me there.
Yeah.
And then I have to be, I have to be willing to allow the Lord to do that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
How, you know, it's not a matter of comfort. I have to be willing to allow the Lord to maybe uproot me from where I'm at to place me where he wants me to be in his will.
Yes.
And that's not always a comfortable process. You know, when that happened to me in my life, I was at a nice job at a nice mortgage lender. And then I got uprooted.
Did you cause the housing crisis?
Not per se. No, not per se. No, please don't send cards and letters to Phil, not me. But if one was to know what was taking place in the industry at that time and the attempt to tap into the untapped home equity and have everybody mortgage their homes to the hilt. I mean, when I heard that, I thought, whoa, whoa. We're going to be in debt up to our eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's prosperity. It would make somebody a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you see that greed takes over. Well, hey, we got our bottom line here. We got to keep this cycle. We got to keep these profits coming in. It's the same thing with you're talking about the poverty that a child must die, an unborn child must die for the benefit of somebody else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in it.
Yeah.
And when money becomes our God,
yeah,
we get into the situation that we are into in our country right now.
And we have a false prosperity of credit and debt.
Oh, yeah.
A house of cards.
I mean, our house is built on sand. I mean, the whole economy was built on credit. Our whole economy for the last 25 years has been built on credit.
Right.
And you cannot sustain that.
Yes.
No matter how hard you try, no matter how many times people want to tell you, hey, you know, and it brings us, I think, to a good example of when John Paul II, when he first came back to Poland, he was given the opportunity to come back to his country because the communist government that at that time had a real dilemma. Did they let him come back? Because if they didn't, are we afraid of him? Well, okay, we'll let him back in, but we'll keep an eye on him. Well, millions of people started showing up at these outdoor masses that he was holding. And he didn't confront the government, the communist authorities per se of Poland. He asked the people, how does God see Europe? Not the boundary lines that were drawn up by men, but how does God see Europe? And the people started chanting, we want God, we want God, we want God. And this happened the whole time he was in Poland. And when the people came back home and watched the events of the day on television, they saw a little clip of John Paul II standing up there, a few seconds, a few words, none of the millions of people that were there, and they began to realize it's all a lie. And no matter who you are in the media, you have to, I mean, we as people have to understand that we are fed sometimes what somebody wants us to be fed. And we have to see beyond that. Because if we don't, we can be fed anything we want, anything that somebody else wants us to be fed.
Right.
And what are we digesting? Is it a lie? Is it truth? Is it light? Is it darkness?
Now we have our media and our entertainment industry feeding us this dark stuff.
Yeah.
That leads us to a reprobate mind.
I mean, people say that, you know, all these video games, well, they have no effect on children. You live in a world of violence, you become a violent person.
Yeah.
You live in a society, you live in a culture that is made of love and forgiveness and peace, you're probably going to be a pretty peaceful person. People that come from a family background where there's maybe substance abuse and there's arguing and bickering all the time, there's yelling and screaming, to them that's normal.
Right.
Yeah. They come into a place of where people are calm and collected and they're like, wow, that's really weird.
Yeah, what's going on here?
You know, you cannot be in an environment all the time and think that it's not going to affect you. You cannot sin and sin and sin and think that it does not affect you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sure. And we've been surrounded by this now.
Yeah.
To even
even people that are believers and going to churches are affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Our culture has really influenced our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas, and we can take it back to when God told the Israelites, you're to be a light to the nations.
Yes, exactly.
Their adherence to the law was to influence and affect others.
Mm-hmm.
But we see that by not adhering and not keeping the law and transgressing, they had no influence on others. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because they were
not, they weren't keeping the covenant.
Right.
They weren't, you know, as you read before, I remember it was earlier today or last week because everything runs together now, but when they keep the covenant, they are a light.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're wise, they go in a good way, and people
right.
look and say, wow, look
right.
at those guys over there.
Right.
When they don't keep the covenant, they're just like the other people.
Yeah. I mean, look, what happens when a TV an evangelical pastor or an evangelist on TV commits a sin?
Right.
Oh, look at that hypocrite.
That's right.
That's exactly what
happens
today.
That's all you hear, exactly.
And not that no one is perfect. But God's, you know, we look to God's grace and God's mercy and forgiveness.
Yeah.
But repentance is just not asking for forgiveness. It's turning away
right.
from whatever we're doing,
yeah.
whatever I'm doing,
yeah.
and saying, okay, Lord, I have to
mm-hmm.
die to myself. Root that out of me,
because
mm-hmm. I want to live for you.
Like you Paul know? Says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And this proud Pharisee says, hey, I'm nothing. I don't boast about anything
yeah.
anymore.
And you know, a friend of ours who was in town a couple months ago said, I've given my life over to hear six words. Well done,
mm-hmm.
good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
Have we given our life over to hear those six words?
Yeah. And compare that to people that are building their life on their retirement plan and their job and their car and their house and.
Mm-hmm.
They have a house at the ocean, and they have a boat, and they have this, and they have that. And this is what they're building their life on.
Yeah.
Instead of, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah. I mean, certainly, God provided Abraham with riches.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham believed what God said,
mm-hmm.
and he followed what God did,
mm-hmm.
or what God told him to do.
Yeah.
And it was counted
yeah.
to him as righteousness,
yeah.
and God blessed him.
Yes.
We get
That's
blessed,
right.
and then we start to... You know, riches aren't a bad thing. Homes aren't a bad thing.
Right,
jobs aren't
right,
a bad
right,
thing.
Right.
But when they take over and become
mm-hmm.
the most important thing,
right.
and we lose sight that the one who created us provided for us,
right.
then
they become idols.
Then our rudder
mm-hmm.
starts taking us, you know,
mm-hmm.
all over the place.
That's right.
We become like a ship tossed in a stormy sea.
Yeah. And this passage that we just went over from Jeremiah, we're going to do a couple more Jeremiah things, but, you know, God had told the people in Deuteronomy that there's going to be consequences to what you do. When you do worse, there's going to be worse consequences.
Mm-hmm.
When you do the worst thing, your land's going to be destroyed and you're going to be exiled.
Yeah.
So the Northern Kingdom, we saw that happen, and the people that Jeremiah is talking to knew full well what had happened in the Northern Kingdom. But that's not going to happen here. This Jeremiah is a crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear this. And then, you know, he says right after that last verse you read, weep not for the dead nor bemoan him. Weep bitterly for him who goes astray, for he shall return no more nor see his native country.
Mm.
In other words, they're going to be exiled. They're going to be worse off than the dead person.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be gone. They're not going to see their native land anymore.
Yeah.
Now, some of them came back. Most of them didn't. But 70 years they were in exile in Babylon because of all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, when they came back at the time of Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel and the people that came back, there was no more idolatry.
Right.
And right up to the time of Jesus, there was no more idolatry there. They kind of learned their lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, when they rejected Messiah, then the city and the temple were destroyed again.
Right.
But we're going to do that next time, next week. But it's a matter of when these horrible things are done in disregard, then there's going to be exile. Now, in our country, we're not going to be exiled anywhere, but judgment's going to come on us. And, you know, farther down in that chapter in verse 17, he says, you know, he's condemning the people. He says, your eyes and your heart are for nothing but covetousness, mm-hmm. for shedding innocent blood, practicing oppression and violence. You know, here we are. We're covetous people. That's what we do. Our eyes and our hearts are kind of set on that. I want that. Mm-hmm. Why should that guy have that and I don't?
I mean, look what happened to David.
Yeah.
And Bathsheba.
Yeah, exactly.
He had everything. God had given him everything. Mm-hmm. And even and after the account of Bathsheba, it even says, God told him, I would have given you if you would have just asked.
That's right.
Yeah. He went upon himself and took.
And in our culture, this is what we do. It's covetousness all the time.
Yeah.
Covetousness all the time. My neighbor got a new car. I got to get a better car. The car I have is like way less cool than the one my neighbor just bought. Or, oh, my neighbor just built a deck on the back of his house. And my deck looks stupid. I got to build another deck because I want a deck like that guy has. I mean, and those, you know, those are kind of silly examples, but mm-hmm. that's the mindset.
But that's what we do.
That's the mindset.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. And, you know, for shedding innocent blood, you know, mm-hmm. we've had over 50 million abortions in this country since Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
And who knows how many in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is innocent blood. And you remember when Cain killed Abel, God said Abel's blood cries out from the ground
yeah.
for vengeance. We have 50 million abortions in this country.
Yeah.
And God is going to judge his own people, destroy his own temple, the place where he put his name, because of this.
Yeah.
And in down in verse 26 to 27, he says, so I will cast you out and your mother who bore you into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they desire to return, they shall not return. And if they do not listen and follow my law, the city will be destroyed. So basically, if you people don't turn around, you're going to go to a land that isn't your land, a land that you're not going to want to go to, a land that isn't your home, and you're not going to see the land that you want to see.
Right.
You're not going to go back to the land you want to go back to because you've done things against my law and you've broken my covenant.
Yeah.
So the ultimate punishment is the exile. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to return, but you're not going to return.
Right.
You can sit there in Babylon and you can think about what you've done. And remember, there's that beautiful psalm, I can't remember offhand now what number it is, where the Babylonians said, hey, why don't you guys sing us some songs of Zion?
Yeah.
And they say, oh, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange land? They put their harps on the trees.
Yeah. How can we sing to our oppressors? Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's.
So you can imagine if you're one of those exiles and you're in this strange land with these pagan people and they say, hey, why don't you sing us some of your songs? Like, you know, why don't you guys sing us some of your Jewish songs? And you think, oh, man, we left all that behind because we really messed up and now we're here. We don't want to sing these songs. How are we going to sing songs of God in this strange land?
Psalm 137.
Yeah, why don't you read it? I love that song.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat weeping when we remembered Zion. On the poplars in its midst, we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for the words of a song, our tormentors for joy. Sing for us a song of Zion. But how could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget. May my tongue stick to my palate if I do not remember you. If I do not exalt Jerusalem beyond all my delights.
Wow. So now they had time, you know, the old saying about you repent and leisure. Mm-hmm. Now they're looking back to what they have. Ooh, this is awesome, son. Wow, we're coming up on the last segment here. This is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, go to giftofgraceministries.org. You can hear some of all of the archived radio shows, some Bible teachings, some other things. We'll be right back.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. These are hard shows to do. Nobody likes to hear about punishment and judgment. And nobody likes to hear about their land being desolate. And nobody likes to hear about being exiled. And nobody likes to hear about, so why don't you sing us some of those worship songs you guys used to sing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine. Imagine when, you know, imagine if the churches are outlawed. You know, Stephen's an excellent musician and plays music and sings, mm-hmm. and his wife Sandy as well. And imagine if we were, if a judgment came where all the churches were destroyed and we were living in some place that we didn't even know, and somebody said, hey, Stephen, why don't you sing some of those worship songs you used to sing over there? It just wouldn't be the same. Because as soon as you started singing it, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
It'd be heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, hey, man, we're just hanging our harps on the trees. We're not even going to, we're not going to sing to you people.
Although Paul and, was it Paul and Silas? They sang in prison.
They sang in prison.
They sang in prison.
But anyway, and the people, they didn't want to hear Jeremiah either.
No.
Because they liked the false prophets who brought him good news. And because Jeremiah was saying, listen, you're not listening to me. You're not following my law. The city's going to be destroyed. Temple's going to be destroyed. This place is going to be rubble. There's going to be exile. And the people said, we don't like this guy. And it wasn't just the government. It wasn't just the king and his people. It was the priests who said, listen, we don't want to hear this guy. Let's kill him. Who does he think he is?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is, I mean, he's got a big mouth. He's bringing everybody down. You know, we want to hear good news.
Mm-hmm.
People today want to hear good news.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care that they're being destroyed in their sin. They want to hear good news.
They don't care that they're being deceived.
No. Tell me something else.
You know, as you're talking and we're talking about this, I'm going to read from James chapter 3.
Yeah.
This is verse 16. Beloved, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? It is not from your passions that make wars within your members, or is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, there's the prophet. Mm. Given the word.
That's right.
You know.
And Jeremiah was rejected. They threw him in a pit.
Mm-hmm.
Said, good, we don't want to hear him anymore. And what happened? The Babylonians came in, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, carried the people off, took the king's eyes out.
Yeah.
Jeremiah stayed in the city. The people went into exile. And Jeremiah stayed in the city, wrote Lamentations, as we mentioned before. And God carried out what he said he was going to do through his prophet, through his messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And God has not changed since 586 BC. He's the same. And he will pour out judgment on the world now, just like he did then.
Mm-hmm. No matter how intellectually advanced we think we are.
That's right.
Or how many spaceships go up, you know.
That's right. Or how we've evolved into being like really advanced creatures and we're really with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want any of that God stuff from 2,000 years ago. We don't want any of that morality stuff because we got different morality now. And if God doesn't get with the times, then we don't want to be with him. But I think Stephen wants to read something that I think we're going to close this show with because this is really hard to do this.
Yeah. This, you know, there's always, God always offers us an opportunity for repentance and for mercy. And in the second book of Second Chronicles in chapter 7, this is, Solomon had, you know, the temple was dedicated and Solomon had prayed and fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings. And in verse 12 of chapter 7, it says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for my house of sacrifice. If I close heaven so that there is no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if then my people, upon whom my name has been pronounced, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven and pardon their sins and heal their land.'"
Oof. So what does that say? When you're under judgment, when all these horrible things are happening, if you fall down on your knees and repent, you can be forgiven. The land can be healed.
And he doesn't say if the government repents.
Yeah.
If the non-believer repents.
That's right.
If those people that don't know me repent, he says, if those people who I have called by my name repent.
And that's us.
That's us. That's everyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We are the ones who need to repent.
Yes.
We are the ones who need to be on our knees and say, "Lord, forgive me because I've sinned.
Yes.
I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against earth. I've sinned against you. And Lord, come and heal this land." And I think that's really what our prayer as every believer, if you're listening to this show, has to be.
Yeah.
Lord, come and heal this land, because, and it's not just about coming heal this land. It's Lord, I have to take an account of myself.
Yes, exactly.
Repent, turn from and follow.
Yes.
Give up whatever you got going on, that causes you to fall into sin. As much as I may justify it, if I seek God's face and I ask God to show me, He's going to show me, the Holy Spirit's going to show me what is in my life that needs to be getting rid of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
We need to do that on our knees. And I often wonder, what would people think if they saw groups of Christians all over the place on their knees repenting?
Mm-hmm.
And people would drive by and say, "What are those people doing?" Somebody says, "Well, they're repenting before the Lord to try to heal this land."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people will be impacted by that.
Yeah.
Some people will say, "What a bunch of kooks."
Yeah.
Some people will be impacted by that and say, "Wow." But, you know, as Stephen just said, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you still stand condemned before God.
Mm-hmm.
You are just like the people that are going astray that we just talked about over the last two shows. You're just like the people in the Northern Kingdom. You're just like the people in the Southern Kingdom. You're just like the people that said, "We don't want to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave me alone. We want to do what we want to do."
Yeah.
And we don't know when judgment's going to come, or even not even that. We don't know when our last breath is going to be.
Right.
Because once you die, your time for repentance is over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of a cataclysmic judgment coming, because that may come tomorrow or it may come 50 years from now. And you may be alive then, you may not be alive then. But the thing to keep in mind is you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow, or you don't know if you're going to be alive next week, or you're going to be alive an hour from now.
Right.
And that you have to turn and repent of your sins.
Right.
Because as Billy Graham's wife used to say, even if there's a 2% chance that what we're saying is true, don't you think you should consider it?
Yeah.
Because people are being led astray by the media, being led astray by the entertainment industry, being led astray by their friends, and even people in the churches are being led astray.
My people will perish for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Amen. Whew. These are hard shows to do. But we're going to be at it again next week. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we hope that you have a good week, everyone. And we ask that you would seek God's face and ask for His forgiveness, that He may heal our land. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.